My name is Garland Robinson. We're going to take a moment to look at the Bible, God's holy word. We would do well to think of it as God's rule book. Isn't it amazing that most people will accept some rule book written by men over the rule book written by God? Countless millions profess to believe in God and the Bible, and then they turn around and put their faith and trust into man's rule book, perhaps a manual or a creed. Isn't it again amazing that these people either cannot or do not desire to see the error in their reasoning? The Bible plainly declares all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. It was Hosea who said by inspiration in Hosea 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forsaken the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." People who enjoy engaging in or watching certain sporting events have absolutely no problem in comprehending the fact that there are rules that govern those events. After three strikes in baseball, the batter's out. He has to go back to the dugout. So do fans become upset and complain that that rule should be ignored in some cases? Wouldn't there be circumstances where a batter can benefit from four strikes before returning to the dugout? In football, the team with the ball has four attempts to travel 10 yards. Well, what if after four attempts, the running back is within 1 inch of a first down? Does the referee say, "Well, because that's such an important game and you've come so close to picking up a first down, I'm going to give it to you anyway"? No, such a statement is not made because everyone understands the team must abide by the rules of the game. Does one really believe in the game of baseball or football who will not abide by the rules of the game? No, not at all. Now, many times we might not like the rules. Many times we might want the rules bent for our advantage. But we still recognize there are rules, and those rules are strictly followed. They may believe in another version of the game, but they don't believe in the game as outlined in the rule book unless we follow the rule book. Why can't people see that same truth in the spiritual realm? One does not really believe in God who refuses to accept His word as truth on any matter. Why is it that people have all kinds of ideas and go to great lengths to circumvent what the Bible says? Why do people get mad at me and others who simply pick up the Bible and say, "Here's the book, chapter and verse, here's what the Bible says"? People say, "Oh, I don't believe that." People say, "Oh, that's just your interpretation." But isn't that funny? Isn't that odd? Isn't that so tragic? That all I do is read a Bible verse and people say, "Oh, that's just your interpretation." I haven't interpreted anything. I just read it. I was studying the Bible one time with a couple and not knowing at all in regards to what sin they may be involved. We were just simply turning to passages and reading it. And we turned to one passage and this couple read it. And they looked up at me and said, "You know, we're guilty. We're sinning." And I said, "What do you mean?" And they said, "Well, according to this, we're living in sin." See, I didn't interpret anything. I didn't force my opinion upon them. They were able to read it for themselves, and they recognized, here's the rule book. Here's what God says. And friend, God is not against us. God loves us. He wants what is best for us. But often people don't think so, and they think God is too difficult and too hard. Isn't that the way it is many times with families, parents, and children? Parents love their children, want what's best for them. They know what is good and right, and they try to teach and train them. But often children rebel. Children say, "Well, you don't love me. Where others are doing that, it's okay with so-and-so." But parents know best because it is the way that is right and children often don't accept it. But it doesn't change the fact. The Bible is still right. The Bible is God's Word. God wants us to be happy. God knows what will make us happy, but we've got to follow His rule book. The players on a sports team have to conform to the rules that govern that sport. The rule book for a particular sport doesn't conform to the players' whims and wishes. The same thing is true in regards to the Bible, God's holy word. The Bible does not conform to the thoughts and wishes of men, but men must conform to the will and wishes of God, to the Word of God. One will not save his soul or incur God's blessing by refusing to live by the Holy Scriptures. Man must accept the truth that his thoughts are not God's thoughts, and man's ways are not God's ways. God's ways are so much greater, so much better than our ways. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 tells us. Now let us note some areas where many who profess to be followers of Christ don't lack God's rules, and they don't abide by those rules. For example, the majority of people who profess to be Christians think that they're saved at the point of faith. That is, just by believing, just by accepting Jesus into their heart to be their personal Savior. They don't believe that baptism, that is, immersion in water, is necessary for salvation. So they conclude that he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved. However, Jesus said, Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, that's not my interpretation. That's not my way of looking at it. That's not me trying to force that upon anyone else. That's simply what Jesus said. Anybody that can read can understand that. Those who can read in the first grade or second grade, they can read that. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But people say, no, I don't like that. I don't want that. What Jesus really meant was, he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved. Well, they reject God's rule book. They like to play the game until God's rule conflicts with their life, and then they throw God's rule out the door. The majority of people who profess Christianity believe that there are many different roads or many different ways, all leading to heaven. But the Word of God says, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Again, man says, no, I don't like that. Oh, anyway is okay. As long as you're sincere, as long as you mean well, God looks upon what's in the heart, not what you do in outward actions and such. But that's not what Jesus said. He said the way to hell, the way to destruction, is wide and broad. But the way to heaven is straight and narrow. That is, it's strict. It's close. It's hemmed in. There's a way that goes to heaven that is narrow, and that's the way Jesus made it. And people say, oh, I don't like that way. I'm going to make it broad. I'll just make it where anybody can go. And then we find where man believes that one can join the church of his choice and be saved. But we read in Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now that's the Word of God. Man does not join the church. Man does not make up his own way. Man does not have his choice in the matter. Our way must be God's way if we expect to go to heaven. We must abide by His rule. And when we do God's will, and when we have obeyed that will, then the Lord adds us to the church, those that are being saved. Most churches today wear man-made names, and they honor the founder of those who would make that church. The Word of God shows that Christ's church is to wear His name. We read in Romans 16:16 about churches of Christ. And those who honor the Lord will wear His name because it is Jesus who died for the church. He is the one that shed His blood in order that it might be purchased. And He is the founder of it. Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'll build this church and that church. I want to build churches, plural. And I'll just let men have their own choice because, you know, men are different and everybody likes different things. Well, man thinks that's the way God thinks, but that's not the way the Lord said it. We do His way or no way at all. Then we find most people today profess to be Christians and believe and practice salvation by faith only. But the Word of God says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. James 2 and verse 24. Now let me read that again. I know people don't like it, but I didn't write the book, and you didn't write the book. And if we rightly divide or handle correctly the Word of God, then we're going to read it and we're going to understand it. We're going to understand it in context, that is, in regards to all the verses surrounding it. Everything is perfect. Everything fits together in God's Word. And He says that whatever salvation comes by, it is not by faith only. Now, Martin Luther believed in salvation by faith only and thought that it was a most comforting doctrine. And he despised the fact that James would record in James 2:24 that man is justified by works and not by faith only. Well, man is justified by obedience. That's what James is talking about. Obedience to God's will, not our will. I cannot devise, you cannot devise some good deed, some work, thereby that we might earn salvation. But by doing what God has commanded, we're doing the works God has commanded us to do, and by that, coupled with faith, we are saved. So it's not by works only, and it's not by faith only. God's rule book, the Bible, states that Christ is the head over all things to the church, which is His body, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. The Bible says there's only one body, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. And Christ promises to save only His body, the body of which He is the head, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. One is not a Christian and cannot go to heaven who refuses to follow God's rule book. So where do you stand today? Are you willing to follow God's rule book, doing what His book says, or what you think is good, what you believe is reasonable, what you believe is acceptable? We must not follow our own thinking, but concede God's thinking and follow God's way and do His way. That's the only way that we can be able to go to heaven.